We want to head out to the SDCCU fan hotline. And I've had this gentleman on for a long time. Great guest. Covered the NFL forever. He's the editor-in-chief of Fansided.com, Jason Cole. Nice enough to join us the day before the NFL draft. Hey, Jason, I got to ask you right from the get-go, how's the new gig treating you so far?
Oh, it's great. And especially now that the weather's gotten better in Chicago, I'm walking along the lake pretty much every night after work, having a nice little saunter there, and hoping it gets a little warmer. But so far, so good. And Mount Rushmore, wouldn't it be just like Terrell Davis, Marcus Allen, Bill Walton, and Ted Williams?
You know what? That is really good. And what we did today, we didn't do it off of just guys in high school. What we did this week, we were trying...
Reggie would be close to.
Yeah, Reggie would be, even though they took his Heisman Trophy away from him. But what we're doing is guys that either played and coached either at the college or pro level, but we're getting a lot of good calls on that. And I got to tell you, for a guy that didn't grow up in San Diego, that was a hell of an effort by you.
Not bad, right off the top of my head. So, yeah, I know my San Diego, even though I'm an Angeleno and having grown up there. I know enough about San Diego sports.
Oh, that's great. Hey, let me ask you, you covered the NFL for a long time. How do you look at the draft, and how do you try to attack it as a writer?
Well, I think that there's this tendency to get really hyped about it right now and imagine that you're taking – like all these stars are going to change the league. That's how the league sort of wants to present it. It's like Christmas in April for NFL fans, especially for all those people who are desperate to see action again and, you know, win games and believe that their team is going to win a title, right? So everybody thinks like, they're going to take all these guys who change the team and they're going to draft, you know, five guys who come in and start and then two guys who are great backups. If that happens to your team, if your team drafts five guys who start for you, it usually means that your team is horrible. Because guys generally just don't know how to play. Basically, if you're lucky enough to average two starters a year in the draft for a 4 to 5 year period, that's extraordinarily high. And that's extraordinarily successful, and that you actually keep those guys for an extended period of time. Like when they're 4 or 5 years done, you actually re-sign those guys. So the success rate is not nearly what the outside world believes. And so you hear from everybody, oh, this guy's terrible in the draft. He doesn't know how to pick players. Really? Have you compared him to what the rest of the league does? And do you really understand how hard it is to do this? So I think that we have the wrong perspective on the draft from that point. At the same time, the draft is vital to making sure that your team can handle the salary cap, right? Like, because you can't just build your team around older veteran players who you get in free agency. They're too expensive. So you have to have this pretty constant group of probably 30 to 35 players on your team who you developed on your own, primarily through the draft or through, getting guys as college free agents who are undrafted, some of that kind of process, or guys who you plucked off other people's rosters, maybe off a practice squad or who were cut. So you have to be really good at this, and then those top 15 to 16 guys on your roster are guys that you may pick up in free agency somewhere along the line. So you have to really be good at the draft. But I believe that the outside world believes that the draft is something that it's not.
Well, let me ask you this. We're visiting with Jason Cole from Fansided.com. Can you believe what the draft has turned into nationally with the NFL Network? Of course, ESPN's been doing it forever, and it's on radio. Are you surprised it's blown up this big over the years?
No, because, look, the NFL does a great job of marketing. And I remember going, when I first started, I went to the Combine, right? And I was probably one of, 15 or 20 writers who regularly went to the Combine. And we would all go there and we'd get so much news at the Combine and then so much news about the upcoming draft and the players who were there. And then that grew and the interest in players. It's the excitement of it's like, let's make a deal. Everybody wants to know what's behind door number 3, right? So, yeah, you always have that anticipation. Like, that something great is back there, right? It doesn't necessarily. Sometimes it's just a goat. But you feel that anticipation. It's sort of the gambling nature of it. So everybody gets excited about what's the next great thing that's going to be coming down the line. And the NFL's done a great job of capitalizing on it. This attracts attracts a tremendous amount of interest, especially in an off season where, look, we haven't played games in what, 2 months, and people want to know what the games are going to look like now.
Hey, Jason, I want to ask you about a few teams while I got you on the line here. I want to start with Arizona because, you know, all of a sudden Josh Rosen a year ago was one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. In fact, if he was coming out this year, he may be the number one quarterback in the draft. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know they got a new head coach. Steve Wilks only made it through 16 games. They let him go. They bring in Cliff Kingsbury. They've talked about, you know, Kyler Murray. And then, you know, we heard a story again. I don't know if it's fact or fiction and a big smokescreen, whether or not they're going to take him number one overall. But could you talk a little bit about the organization? Because I've always looked at the Cardinals as being kind of dysfunctional.
Well, they have been. They've gotten better here under Michael Bidwell, who took over from his father. I mean, they were really dysfunctional under Bill Bidwell, who was son of Charlie Bidwell, the founder of the team. So, you know, they were really, really cheap. They didn't have a lot of respect for players. I think that has changed. That doesn't mean that things are perfect. I mean, they got better. You know, they had Arians there. They had made a Super Bowl under Whitten. They've, I think, understood you want to keep players. You want to have consistency in your organization. But sometimes, look, you just make a bad hire. And they made a bad hire a year ago when Wilks, who was not ready to be a head coach, looked and sounded like a head coach, but didn't understand the operation of a team, right? And then you get another coach in there, and boy, they took a really big swing here on a guy who looks like an offensive genius, but didn't win a lot of games at the college level when he had Pat Mahomes. So how's that going to play in your locker room? And I think that leads to this dysfunction, which, again, I think Cliff Kingsbury is a really smart guy, understands offense, and I understand why he would want his own quarterback in Kyler Murray. Not a guy he necessarily but a guy he knows certainly very, very well. I can see why he would want that. But boy, when you fire a coach after 1 year and then trade away a quarterback that you took in the first round a year ago, boy, that doesn't look good. I mean, and I would say that general manager Steve Keim is under a tremendous amount of pressure to make this work, which may be the reason why they ultimately don't take Kyler Murray tomorrow with the number one pick.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. I wanted to ask you about the 49ers a little bit. You know, I think when John Lynch went in there as a general manager and Kyle Shanahan, that roster, and you talk about dysfunction, they'd gone through a bunch of different coaches. You know, the roster wasn't very good. Each of the last 2 years, I'm seeing that roster definitely getting better. I know last year they had a host of injuries, namely Jimmy Garoppolo. They lose their their number one running back a week or two before the start of the year. How important is this draft to Lynch and to Kyle Shanahan going into their third year?
Well, you can't screw up the number two pick. I mean, like they had, you know, unfortunately, their first draft where they took Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster, that hasn't panned out. I mean, Solomon hasn't developed into the kind of player that he should be. You know, and that disappoints me a lot, saying that as a Stanford grad. and Reuben Foster, you know, just had no level of self-control and has undermined his career. So, you know, that draft stands as an embarrassment. You have to completely turn that around to getting, you know, impact guys when you have high picks like this. So, you know, yeah, John Lynch. Now, I don't think he's under a tremendous amount of pressure because I believe there's a lot of faith in him and there's a lot of faith in Kyle Shanahan. But, yeah, you got to make these high picks work. Because these high picks, when you have a chance to get these kinds of picks, yeah, these are game-changing kind of players. These are the superstars that you talk about. in the draft. You have to get these right. Because if you're good, you're not picking until the 20s most of the time. And when you're picking in the 20s, it's a lot harder to find those guys. You know, in any draft, and you know this, Coach, it's you've got maybe 8, if you're lucky, 14 of what you would say are those blue chip guys who are you know have the athletic ability to be superstars. Anybody else who makes that, if they're becoming a superstar, it's usually on work ethic and smarts, right?
No question about it.
Yeah, this is an opportunity to get one of those blue chip guys like a Bosa or a Quinnen Williams. It's got to happen.
Hey, Jason, final question I have for you. The Miami Dolphins, they're drafting at number 13. Number one, can they get it right? Number two, what direction is that organization going? They just don't seem to have a definite direction the last several years.
Well, I think that, you know, everybody's written it that they're doing this rebuild kind of thing, which I think is dangerous in football, because football, it's not like the NBA where you can say we're going to cash it in for a year and then we'll get the top player and that one player can impact our team so much. In football, you occasionally can do that if there's a quarterback who's really worthy. So, you know, and but again, you can't do any extended time. I mean, if basically cashing it in for a year or two was a simple way to rebuild your football team, wouldn't the Detroit Lions have done something when they had, what, 3 straight years they got Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and Ndamukong Suh because they were so bad? And they didn't turn those guys into anything, right? Like, they never won a championship. Cleveland was terrible for 7, 8, 9 years. And it just turned it around because they got it right with Baker Mayfield. All those great draft picks that they had turned out to be nothing, absolutely nothing. So they squandered pick after pick after pick. So tanking just doesn't work in football the same way. I think the Dolphins are in a tank mode, and I'm, again, if they get a quarterback somewhere along the line, either this year or next year, then they can change it. If you're tanking and you don't develop a winning attitude quickly, that tanking can last a long, long time, because in football is different than football or basketball. You don't get a chance to play every day. When you only get a chance to play once a week, when you lose, you hang on to that feeling a lot. Huh. And you question everything around you. And all of a sudden, the people who are leading you and coaching you, because you have to think about that loss for an entire week, all of a sudden you look at them and go, I don't know that person knows what they're doing. And it undermines everything about your organization and the faith in your organization. And that's why tanking doesn't work in football the way it does in some other sports.
Well, I'll tell you what, you couldn't have put that any better. I could tell you went to Stanford the way you described that. That was some good stuff right there. And people don't understand that, you know, and I'm not saying the Dolphins don't want to win, but I'm convinced, Jason, in all pro sports, not every owner really wants to win. They want to win enough to keep people interested and, you know, buy the season tickets and come out.
They want to make money.
Yeah, and there are a lot of them, they think winning creates the problems. And, well, it may, because players and coaches are going to want to make more money and guys are going to, you know, dig their heels in from time to time. But I'm convinced there's a high percentage of owners that, you know, they want to win just enough to keep people interested.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the business of it. I mean, they've been trying to do that for 100 years with the NFL. I mean, they started tinkering with the schedule in the 20s. So just to make it so that everybody had a chance at the end of the season. So, yeah, they've been thinking that way for a long, long time.
Hey, enjoy the draft. And as always, thanks so much for your time, Jason. And I'm glad that the job there in Chicago is working out great for you.
I appreciate it. Take care. Thanks, Coach.
There you go. The editor-in-chief of fansided.com, and that was on the SDCCU fan hotline. You can nominate SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/nominate. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better banking.